B flat. This morning, the power of the blood of Jesus. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ.
1:13. As we say over in South Georgia, that's a good one. Verse 1 through 10.
Yes.
Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Amen.
Well, Gene read some in Isaiah 53 for us. Well, this was long before it happened. It's obvious that the Holy Spirit of God, who knows all things past, present, and future, knew what was going to happen, how it was going to happen. And he told of it here. Verse 3 of Isaiah 53 said he is despised and rejected of men. And he was. And guess what? He still is today. But Chuck was talking about over half of the nation is against or not for Jesus Christ and no belief in him. It's because he is despised of them. In their hearts they say, we will not have this man rule over us. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. We have sorrows, and he helps us through them, doesn't he? And he knows all about them, because he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, verse 4, he hath borne our griefs, and he's carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. We need to revisit that often, don't we? The fact that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. What a Savior. What a love that he had and has for us. Now the blood symbolizes cleansing and purification. From the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, after Adam disobeyed God and basically obeyed Satan instead by listening to his wife who was deceived, from that time, the only way that man could return to God, which sin had separated him from God, was through the shedding of blood. And God pointed to that and pointed it out. When he covered Adam and Eve's nakedness with skins, coats of skins, there was bloodshed to make those coats of skins. And that bloodshed pointed to a pure blood that was to come. Again, the Holy Spirit moved this prophet to write these things. So he knew what was going to happen. He knew what had happened. He knew what was happening at the time. God covered their nakedness with coats of skins. A sacrifice. Something that was living died for their sake. Well, they felt covered with their own works, didn't they? But they were wrong. The fig leaves covered their sins to them. That's how humans are. But we're not too bad. We're all right. We did this for the poor, and we do this, and we do that. Surely God looks on us and sees that we're good. But we're wrong. What the fig leaves did was hid Adam and Eve's nakedness to themselves, but not from God. It took a sacrifice of life to cover their sins or their nakedness in his eyes, you see. He saw right through those fig leaves that they sewed together. He saw right through them. He sees right through our works of righteousness as we might want to think of them. And they don't account for much. The power of the blood. God's love was and is expressed to us. This great love that we really can't comprehend in these finite minds is expressed in the shedding of the blood of Jesus. All of the sacrifices, the bulls, the goats, the doves, the lambs in the Old Testament, every single one of them, every one, pointed to the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, those animals were innocent. But their blood could not atone for the sin of mankind. Why? Why the blood of Jesus? Well, we're going to see why. The power in the blood of Jesus, the shed blood of Jesus, has provided everything that you and I need to live a life of victory. It's provided everything. God was satisfied with the sacrifice of His Son. There are five things that we're going to look at this morning that the power of the blood of Jesus has provided for us. Jesus qualified to stand before God for you. Number one, His body, His life was not tainted by the seed of man. And the fallen nature that Adam, that you inherited from Adam and Eve, is passed down through the man. Jesus Christ did not have a man in His conception. But rather the Holy Spirit hovered over Mary. So He was born of God. Still a baby. Still spent 9 months in a womb. Was still born and with every dependent need that every newborn has. He humbled Himself to that point. But He didn't have a natural sinful nature. Now, He had to live this life without sin. And He did. We could not keep the law. The law condemns us. Why? Because we can't keep it. And because we don't keep it. But He kept it. And He kept it perfectly. His blood was not tainted with sin. That's what made His blood powerful. Why? Because God accepted it as the sacrifice for you and for me. The first thing, let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to look at how the blood of Jesus has purchased our redemption. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, excuse me, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. God's in control, isn't He? Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. we are unable to please God by keeping the law. Why? Because we can't keep it. But we've been accepted anyway. Why? Because His Son kept the law for over 33 years. He was the perfect man that qualified to be the sacrifice for mine and your sin. Now, verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. We are redeemed from the situation that we are in humanly. In the condition that we are in humanly, how is that condition? What is that condition? It's separated from God. Why? Because of sin. God cannot look upon sin. We have redemption through His blood, verse 7, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The riches of His unmerited favor to us. Why did He do it? Because He loves you that much that He gave His only begotten Son. Verse 8 says, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. You know Him this morning? You trust in Him this morning? Are you trusting in His blood to cover you in the sight of God? Oh, it's important that we trust in what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Why? Because we can't do it for ourselves. Nor would we ever be able to. He knew that. That's why He gave His life for us. When we receive Jesus in our hearts, our sins are put as far as east is from the west to be remembered no more. We have trouble forgetting them, don't we? Yeah, they bother us, don't they? But God says that He puts them behind Him. Why? Because Jesus paid the entire price for them. Not swept under the rug like we tend to do in the presence of others. No. He paid for every single one. And it hurt. He suffered for you to express the love that He had for you. Now turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. We're almost there. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. How many? Not one. Not one man, not one woman justified in the sight of God by the law. We tend to think ourselves, we justify ourselves sometimes. But not in the sight of God. And no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. By faith. Faith in what? Faith in the perfect shed blood of Jesus Christ that He shed for us. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That was Him. He hung on the tree, didn't He? He was cursed for us. What did that do? It redeemed us from the curse of the law. That the blessing of Abraham, verse 14, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit again through faith. Faith in who? Faith in what? Faith in Jesus Christ. And the voluntary death. He voluntarily gave his life for you and for me. But we are freed from the curse of the law. You see, Jesus kept the law, and he kept the law for you, on your behalf. When God sees you, he's looking through the blood of Jesus Christ, you see. Isn't that amazing? Because he sees you as just, or justified, like you've never sinned. That's amazing, isn't it? The shed blood of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus has kept the law on our behalf, we now have friendship and fellowship with him. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's the blood of Christ that paid the price for that. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. You remember in the tabernacle and in the temple, they had to have a high priest go in the holiest of holies, the room, the special room for them. But now, through and because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we have direct access to him. When he hung, was hanging on the cross, and he died, the veil in the temple was ripped from top to bottom. That's the veil that the high priest was allowed to go through for you if you were a repentant sinner. He's not needed anymore, because Jesus Christ is our high priest now. So this fellowship, this friendship, Adam and Eve had it in the Garden of Eden. They walked with God in the cool of the evening. But it was lost through Adam's disobedience, wasn't it? It was. Mankind separated from God then. But it's restored through Christ in his obedience to the law. His perfect life that he lived. Isaiah 53 in verse 4 and 5 says that by his stripes we are healed. So we have healing also. We have redemption. We have fellowship. We have healing through the blood of Jesus Christ. His sacrifice covered all of our needs. He suffered. He suffered spiritually for our sins. He suffered mental distress for all the things that we worry and care about and struggle with, our sorrows and fear. He suffered physical pain for our sickness and the disease we go through. He suffered for us. By his stripes, we are healed. We observe the Lord's Supper today. We're going to remember that he suffered for us. We are going to seriously contemplate what he did, what he went through, what he suffered for us. You remember what happened in Exodus chapter 12? Well, that applies to us too. The last plague that God put on Egypt was the death of the firstborn, you remember. You might say that did it. That did it. Pharaoh freed God's people after that. But how were they protected from the death of the firstborn that Egypt went through? You remember? With the hyssop, they painted blood on the doorpost. What blood? Just some blood that somebody wanted to give? No. It was specific. It was a young lamb without spot or blemish. They brought it into the house and they kept it. They kept it for days. You know what happens when you bring a baby into a house? Doesn't matter if it's a dog, a cat, a human, a lamb. Everybody loves a baby, right? But then what were they instructed to do? They killed it. They shed its blood. A perfect example of Jesus Christ giving his life to protect you. That's what they did. They painted the doorpost. And when death of the firstborn passed through the city, it passed over them. Well, let me say this morning that we need to paint the doorpost of our lives with faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, what's the doorpost of our lives? Well, if our lives are in a room, the doorpost is what comes in, isn't it? It's the entry, isn't it? We need to be careful what we let into our lives, don't we? By believing that Jesus Christ paid every drop that was necessary and required by God the Father for our sins. And they've been put away forever. This faith in Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus to the doorpost of our lives, will protect us from what? Separation from God. Or what happened to them? They died. Their children died. That's a separation, isn't it? And then, so we have redemption, fellowship, healing, protection. And now, last but not least, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have authority over evil. We have authority over the enemy through the blood of Jesus and through His name. Let us realize that the blood of Jesus gives us redemption, paid the price for friendship and fellowship with the Lord. Personal fellowship with the Lord. We don't have to go through a high priest. We have access to Him. And we read where He has planted His Word in our minds and hearts. We have healing through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have protection when we cover our lives with the faith we have in the blood that He shed for us. And the power of the blood of Jesus Christ is enough to overcome anything and everything that can come against us. He's defeated the enemy. And He's done so for you and for me. What a Savior. Realize today that there was no other way for you to be saved from your condition. It had to be the perfect shed blood of the Son of God. And it was and it is. And that blood is available today. Put your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's cleansing. It's healing. It's protective. It's authority over evil. Praise God. He is with us wherever we go. And nothing can separate us from this love that He has for us.